Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Elon Musk is turning out to be a champion of freedom of speech. I am so impressed. Several different reports I want to share with you today. Beginning with, Elon Musk exposes woke Twitter exec secret conservative blacklist. Round two of the Twitter files has exposed that the social media giant has actively been silencing conservative voices for years while publicly claiming they would never do something like that. The files reveal that Twitter has been placing people on secretive blacklists, which limit an individual's ability to spread information on the platform. Journalist Barry Weiss released the information in another lengthy Twitter thread, which, in addition to the blacklist, confirmed the platform has prevented disfavored tweets from trending on the platform and actively limited the visibility of entire accounts and even trending topics in secret without informing users. This multi-tiered censorship operation began at the top with a group known as the Site Integrity Policy Escalation Support, a.k.a. SKIP-PES, SKIP-PES. This secret group included the head of the Legal Policy and Trust, Vanya Gada, and Global Head of Trust and Safety, Joel Roth, subsequent CEOs Jack Dorsey and Parag Agrawal and others, Weiss said. This is where the biggest, most politically sensitive decisions got made. Think. High follower count, controversial, another Twitter employee told us. For these, there would be no ticket or anything. In 2018, however, Gotti, who was directly involved in the censorship, said, "We do not shadow ban. We certainly don't shadow ban based on political viewpoints or ideology." These former Twitter execs have now been completely exposed. And many specific examples are available. Good stuff. Meanwhile, Former CIA Director John Brennan melts down after Elon Musk calls on Dr. Fauci to be prosecuted. Former CIA Director and current MSNBC contributor John Brennan leaped to the defense of Dr. Anthony, Tony the Rat, Fauci, after Twitter chief Elon Musk called for his prosecution. Musk set social media ablaze with his comments. It began with a follower asking when the Twitter files, a series of internal document dumps showing officials at Twitter engaged in rampant censorship of conservatives, was going to tackle COVID information. Oh, it's coming big time, Musk tweeted. The Tesla CEO had also tweeted out a meme of Fauci, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease director, and President Biden with a caption, "Just one more lockdown, my king." It was what Elon Musk tweeted next that set everyone into a cognitive uproar. "My pronouns are prosecute Fauci," Musk wrote. When one individual asked, "Will this be explained in a new Twitter files part?" Musk replied simply, "Yes." Fauci, in a recently published deposition, claimed that he never directly advised the Biden admin or big tech corporation to censor anti-lockdown posts. Yet, he would publicly endorse specific policies and social media companies would obediently silence all views in conflict with those policies. Fauci had trouble with his memory during the deposition, answering, "I don't recall," or "I don't know," 174, yes, that's right, 174 times when asked about emails, interviews, and other relevant information. However, not everyone was equally excited about Fauci being exposed of the fraud he seemingly is. Enter former CIA's book, Brennan, who hailed him as a national treasure worthy of being placed on a pedestal. He seemed to take Musk's quip as a personal affront. "Dr. Fauci is a national hero who will be remembered for generations to come up for his innate goodness and many contributions to public health," Brennan, I had absurdly claimed. "Despite your business success, you'll be remembered most for fueling public hate and divisions. You may have money, but you have no class." Well, Brennan has a lot of nerve making statements like that. Fauci is going to go down as the greatest mass murderer in history, responsible for more deaths than all of our foreign enemies combined: Stalin, Hitler, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong. Fauci is going to have many times the number of deaths of all of them combined. And the person who has no class, who's actually despicable and a traitor to the nation, is John Brennan. This guy's a complete scumbag. Remember, it was John Brennan, in collusion with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, who created ISIS. And then when Mike Flynn objected, where he was then the director of national intelligence, Brennan recommended to Obama that he fire him, which Obama obligingly did. John Brennan, who is a Muslim, betrayed the United States. Hillary Clinton, who is a scumbag, betrayed the United States. Barack Obama, who is a grotesque caricature of a president, betrayed the United States. Mike Flynn stood up for the United States. They created a terrorist army in the Middle East in order to create great problems for the Assad government in Syria. I mean, they were raping and looting and killing. And many of the members of ISIS were sporting U.S. Army tattoos. I did extensive exposés of ISIS at the time. It was just outrageous what was going on. And a whole lot of the tweets that were put out about ISIS were phony, you know, beheadings, that were actually filmed on sound stages. It was an elaborate psyop of the kind that Barack Obama would legitimize taking place right here in the United States when he nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation that were heretofore only allowed to be used abroad right here in the United States by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time for Sandy Hook. And as we approach the 10th observance of that staged event, where nobody died, I just remind you, we're dealing with despicable figures in the American government who treat the American people as pawns to be manipulated, to be deceived, to be controlled via propaganda. And among the instruments they've utilized to exercise that control has been Twitter. So here we have them lying their faces off before Congress that they're not suppressing or censoring conservative voices or Trump supporters or MAGA enthusiasts when they were doing all of the above over and over and over again. They were suppressing anything that was destructive or negative to the Democrats, including, of course, the Anthony Weiner laptop way back when, before the 2016, where James Comey played a key role, and where an FBI agent who was involved in that would come to Twitter and has now been given the boot by Elon Musk, and then continued by Christopher Wray in relation to the Hunter Biden laptop. I mean, we have so much information, so much evidence, so much proof. It is so lurid. It is so corrupt. It is so filthy and disgusting. Would it have made a difference? Well, here's the deal. They were prepared to steal the 2022 just as they stole the 2020. They just try to create a veneer or a pretext to make it look as though why it might happen that way. And then you have people like James Carville coming out and claiming, you know, it was Trump's negative influence, when we have mass defections from the left moving to the right by Catholics, by Hispanics, by white suburban women. I mean, you're talking about core constituencies of the Democrat voting bloc, where white suburban women represent 20% of the electorate. They were not only moving left, but they admitted, they said, they affirmed, they liked Trump more than Biden. I mean, God knows. Trump is an energetic, brilliant guy who cares about America. Joe Biden is a dwarf of a man, cognitively impaired, who has a despicable history of corruption and even pedophilia. I mean, why would anyone in their right mind prefer a Biden to a Trump? I mean, it's insane to even think. James Carville said, we saved 57 seats that we had projected would go to the GOP because of Trump. This is just ridiculous as it gets. Trump was a major force for good. Trump's batting average with candidates is overwhelmingly positive. Trump is really the only guy out there representing the people. Though I, of course, agree there are other lesser figures on the public stage. Ron DeSantis, obviously. Carrie Lake coming up. Tulsi Gabbard. Ron Johnson. Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz. There are people out there who are trying to conduct the people's business in a way that benefits the people. But Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, George Soros, not among them. They're all manipulating, even promoting the Great Reset and the mass vax devastation, genocide. Here's more. Brennan comes to Fauci's defense. The Twitter chief's first document dumps involved inarguable proof that the platform deliberately censored the Hunter Biden laptop story as directed by the DNC and President Joe Biden's campaign. Brennan, as you may know, worked really, really hard to help suppress that story and carry Biden to victory in 2020. He and 50 other intel officials helped feed a media narrative to the media that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. In a letter signed by Brennan, the intel officials just weeks before the election, the authors admitted they do not know if the emails on Hunter Biden's laptop are genuine and that they do not have evidence of Russian involvement. Even so, they said, it has all the classic earmarks of a Russian information campaign. It did it. They knew it. They lied anyway to shut it down. Now, Brennan and his colleagues have been exposed by Musk. Brennan's credibility, even prior to all of this, had been in shambles. The Wall Street Journal reported in 2018, Brennan has taken credit for launching the Trump investigation, adding he took the lead on shaping the narrative that Russia was interfering in the election, specifically to help Mr. Trump, which quickly evolved into the Trump collusion narrative. We know now that was also a hoax. Brennan gets wrecked immediately. Brennan's feeble response to Musk, calling for Fauci to be prosecuted, was met hard with mockery by those who view the lead face of America's COVID response as a fraud. Dr. Fauci, just like you, is a serial liar, and you both belong in prison, wrote a prominent right-leaning social media account. Others took a jab, pun intended, at Brennan's efforts to suppress the Hunter Biden story. Your endorsement of Fauci only adds to his negative, scoffed conservative columnist Deb Hine. Claremont Institute fellow David Riaboy fired back, calling Fauci and Brennan two of America's most hideous villains. As for Musk, he responded to backlash over his other anti-Fauci tweets with a simple observation. Truth resonates. Truth is something you're not going to find if you're looking to either Brennan or Fauci for information. No doubt about it. And we're going to have the recommendation of the prosecution of those who were suggesting that the laptop was fake information. Really stunning stuff. Here's another story. Kevin McCarthy. GOP will subpoena 51 intel officials who claimed Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy has vowed to subpoena 51 senior intel officers who signed a letter prior to the 2020 election suggesting the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. McCarthy's pronouncement comes as the Twitter files dropped by Elon Musk have proven the social media platform deliberately censored the laptop story as directed by the DNC and President Joe Biden's campaign. With the GOP set to assume the majority in the House come January, The California Republican is promising to hold the intel officials who helped cast doubt on the story accountable. McCarthy said of those who signed the letter that he'll bring them and subpoena them before a committee when Republicans take control. Those 51 intel agents who signed that letter said the Hunter Biden information was all wrong, was Russian collusion. Many of them have a security clearance, said McCarthy. Why did they sign it? Why did they lie to the American people? A Clapper? A Brennan? Why did you use a reputation that America was able to give you more information, but use it for a political purpose and lie to the American people? Here's Ethan Herseli tweeting. Kevin McCarthy vows to subpoena 51 intel agents who lied about Hunter's laptop. Those 51 agents that signed a letter that said the Hunter Biden information was all wrong was Russian collusion. Many of them have a security clearance. The Twitter files has cast sunlight on the process behind the scene involving Twitter officials who went out of their way to censor the story prior to the 2020 presidential election. The situation also renews scrutiny of the 51 intel officials who gave some cover for the big tech company and their reasoning for squashing the story. In a letter signed by over 50 intelligence officials published just weeks before the election, the authors admitted they do not know if the emails on Hunter Biden's laptop are genuine, and they do not have evidence of Russian involvement. They published the letter regardless, essentially citing a hunch. If we are right, this is Russia trying to influence how Americans vote in this election, and we believe strongly that Americans need to be aware of this. They said of the New York Post story, adding it has all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. Here's Miranda Devine tweeting. Never forget who signed the dishonest election eve letter claiming the emails published by the New York Post from Hunter Biden's laptop had all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. More. They destroyed their reputation by signing this letter and then not recounting for 16 months and counting. Some of these people appear to this day on CNN and MSNBC as esteemed experts on the war in Ukraine. The least they should do is declare a conflict of interest. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper and former CIA Directors Mike Hayden, John Brennan, and Leon Panetta all signed the letter. While the media has reluctantly and slowly confirmed the authenticity of the content of the laptop, none of these individuals has ever apologized for misleading voters and tampering with an American election. Miranda, again. Spies who lie. The New York Post contacted the senior ex-intelligence official who signed the shameful 2020 letter declaring Hunter Biden's laptop and its emails we ran were Russian disinformation. Not one apologized. Most declined to comment. A few, like James Clapper, doubled down. McCarthy is right in that many of the 51 intel officials still hold a security clearance despite having spread false propaganda. One in particular, Jeremy Bash, was recently named as a key member of President Biden's intel community Intelligence Advisory Board. An announcement of Bash's appointment was publicized on the White House website in August. Here's Jeremy Christmas tweeting, new. Biden's new pick for his presidential advisory board is an MSNBC pundit among dozens of ex-intel officials to sign the famous 2020 letter claiming the Hunter Biden laptop story was a Russian op. Jeremy Bash called the laptop Russia disinfo. Another former CIA official, David Priest, was given a platform to offer an apology on Fox News, but instead doubled down. Press, author of the book titled, I Kid You Not, How to Get Rid of a President, was challenged by host Brett Baier in October. Baier read back the classic earmark segment of the letter and asked, why did you sign on to that? Rather than admit to dissembling his own misinformation, Press argued, people tend to leave out that elsewhere in the letter, if you read it, it also says we don't know if this is Russian information at all. That has dramatically changed in the retelling of the story, he added. If you don't know, you should never have signed the letter. What has changed dramatically is that 51 intel officials have been proven liars. The media helped amplify that lie, and Twitter shut down opposition unilaterally in an effort to get Joe Biden elected. Subpoenas and hearings will be a good start, but it amounts to nothing if somebody isn't held accountable for this insurrection.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, let me just add that, yes, as most of you are aware, the Supreme Court denied my petition for a rehearing of my case, which really was about our entitlement under the Seventh Amendment to a trial by jury, wherein the lawsuit brought by the fictional entity Leonard Posner for a purported defamation in the book I edited, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, where I brought together 13 experts, including 6 PhDs, and we established that this school had been closed by 2008, my current understanding being it was actually closed in 2006, that there were no students or teachers there, and that it had been a FEMA drill to promote gun control, where I even included the FEMA manual as Appendix A to the book, for a couple of sentences asserting an incomplete death certificate that had no file number, no town or state certification, was fake. There are 3 sentences making that assertion in the book. And here I'm describing the content of the lawsuit because I'm under an injunction from the court not to make that assertion again on pain of contempt of court. So I'm merely describing what the lawsuit was about, where the judge in Wisconsin just systematically deleted all the evidence I presented, including the FEMA manual, an FBI consolidated crime report for 2012 showing at the intersection of murder, non-negligent manslaughter in Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a subdivision, the number 0, that the final report on Sandy Hook by the Danbury State's Attorney Stephen Sadinsky III fails to create a causal nexus that connects a purported shooter, Adam Lanza, with either the murder of his mother which purportedly occurred using a .22 caliber rifle that was bereft of his fingerprints, and where 150 slugs they acquired at the school, or so they claim, could not be matched to the AR-15 he's supposed to have used, which, by the way, had a corroded and cruddy barrel. Scott Bennett, former Army Intel and PSYOPs officer, pointed that out to me. That this was an antique. This was a Vietnam-era weapon that he was supposed to be using. I mean, it's ridiculous how phony, how fabricated, how fake was this whole event. Could not be matched, which means that they couldn't connect the alleged shooter to the weapons he's supposed to have used or the victims he's supposed to have killed, and where now I have more evidence, which I was able to share with the Supreme Court. Because Brian Davidson, who's a licensed private investigator in Texas, undertook research into the Connecticut State Police files and discovered in their photographs, and they have hundreds of photographs from which all the metadata has been removed out of consciousness of guilt. They have hundreds of photographs contradicting the official narrative. For example, there's a photograph down the hallway where we are supposed to have the bodies of the principal, Don Hawkspring, and of the school psychologist, Mary Sherlock, in a pool of blood. But the photograph down the hallway not only shows no bodies, but it also shows no blood. Then there are photographs inside a classroom where you're supposed to see a stack of little bodies and blood all over the place. Not only are there no bodies and no blood, there's not even any student desks or chairs, no teacher's desk, no American flag. In other words, what Brian Davidson discovered in the files of the Connecticut State Police was proof not only that no mass murder had taken place, but also that it wasn't even an operating school. And I had all that to the Supreme Court in appendices that they, no doubt, in an effort to keep the American people uninformed of what the case was all about, they did not make accessible when they published my case on the docket of the Supreme Court, where it was in conference on the 3rd, and then where I learned on the 5th that it had been denied. Now, this was not any ordinary case. It was a high profile because it involves Sandy Hook and because I've been so prominent in exposing the hoax. But it also represented a conflict between the highest courts of two different states, because in Wisconsin, the judge has the ability to simply, based on his own subjective personal opinion, rule evidence to be unreasonable and therefore treat it as though it did not even exist, which included the reports of two forensic document examiners, where by the time we went to the oral hearing stage on proposed summary judgment motions from both sides, the judge simply declared which concluded that all four of the death certificates that had been introduced into evidence were fabricated or fake. The judge was equally able to just set them aside as unhelpful. And the Wisconsin Court of Appeals agreed that he'd done the right thing. But in Texas, the case would have been thrown out or sent to a jury. I mean, for God's sake, no one has had the opportunity to have the merits evaluated by a jury. Not in Alex Jones' case, all three, where I sought to intervene. Not in Remington, where the insurance companies would rather shell out $73 million in damages than allow me to enter to show that nobody had died at Sandy Hook, and I believe that was an investment. They made an investment anticipating the ultimate outcome is going to be insurance. for gun owners. You're going to have to buy insurance. And they're going to make billions upon billions, hand over fist, money. So they want this all to go forward. They don't want it to be defeated in court. And God knows the government doesn't want me to enter on behalf of Alex Jones and explain that he'd done nothing wrong, because what he said when he denied it was real was true. Truth, of course, being an absolute defense against defamation. None of these cases has gone to a jury. I pointed that out in my brief, and you can download it to your own desktop. You can study the case. You can go to my blog, jameshfetzer.org. And just under press release, you'll find a wonderful summary of the case by Ron Avery, who's an expert on summary judgment in Texas, having been involved in numerous, won some, lost others. Indeed, it was my conversation with Ron Avery that convinced me my approach to the Supreme Court ought to be a conflict between the highest courts of two different states, which makes it perfect for the Supreme Court. And because, due to a peculiarity of history, the court has never affirmed that the Seventh Amendment alone among the first 10 applies to all 50 states, this was an historic opportunity to render that affirmation, which the court declined to take. And I have no doubt, and have been given to understand, it's because after their massive investment in the Alex Jones case, after all the propaganda intended to dissuade people from asking questions about Sandy Hook, which, as I pointed out in my petition, even included a fine of $1 billion for an opinion. This is so out of control. They didn't want my lawsuit to upend all that massive propaganda, which they're using to attempt to brainwash the American people to stop asking questions. I'm not at all convinced it's going to work, but it certainly won't be for lack of trying. Now, get this. Trump banned from Twitter came after pressure from Michelle Obama and others. Radical Marxist Michelle Obama has some very powerful ideas about how to treat the civil liberties of American citizens. The idea is to squelch speech and build personal power, thereby dominating and controlling free people. Rumors are that the other half of the Obama couple is thinking of running for POTUS in 2024. So the reminder of the usurpation of our freedom comes at the perfect time to see how a political junkie like Michelle Obama handles the concept of real equal rights. Let me add, I've been exposing Michelle as a fraud for, egad, probably a half a dozen years anyway, maybe longer. During my 2020 False Flags and Conspiracy Conference, I made a presentation called Deception Galore, where I explained that Michelle Obama had been born Michael LaVon Robinson, that Michelle Obama had played football at Oregon State, where she had a fairly good record of tackles, that Michelle Obama had adopted a female persona and changed her name to Michelle when she transferred to Princeton, that I have and plenty of photographs of Barack and Michelle as when he was not calling himself Barack and Michael, with what looks to me like a young Bill Gates. And it's obvious this is a man. Flat-chested. I don't mean just a flat-chested woman. I mean a flat-chested man. In fact, I put a photograph on my Twitter account, at Jim Fetzer, photographs showing Michelle Obama with a package that most women do not have, and Michelle Obama letting her beard grow when her husband is no longer president. I've also posted a photograph of Brittany Grimes in an automobile and bare-chested and like Michelle, No mammaries. No breasts. In fact, it turns out, as I explained in Deception Galore, that a physician who'd been looking after her on the campaign trail walked into her on a trailer during a campaign stop near Trenton, New Jersey, taking a leak standing up. Where he'd been paid millions for his silence, but where he felt that given the damage they've done to the country, he could no longer remain. And observed that Michelle Obama is not a man who underwent a sex change operation. Michelle Obama is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. Now, I say, if you want to vote for a man who has breast implants and a huge shaving bill, who pretends to be a woman, who's deceived the American people, who's even gone out of her way to muzzle Donald Trump, well, by God, do it. That's your right as an American citizen. And because of the Democrat manipulation of voting, I can guarantee you your vote is going to count. Just don't let yourself be played. I'm taking full advantage of what Elon Musk is doing in creating Twitter as a platform for free speech. I put up several today related to Sandy Hook and even related to the lawsuit in the POTUS decision not to grant my petition for a writ. In fact, I've just sent it to Tom Fitton, who's the head of Judicial Watch, Elon Musk himself, Greg Jarrett, who's an excellent legal expert, and Jonathan Turley, who may be the best of them all at dissecting constitutional issues, asking why SCOTUS would have turned down a petition that State of the Nation, itself a formidable internet news outlet, referred to as a case that may raise the most important issue before the Supreme Court in our lifetime. In our lifetime. Here's the actual tweet. James H. Fetzer at Jim Fetzer. Tom at Dom Fitton at Greg Jarrett at Elon Musk at Jonathan Turley. State of the Nation said, Fetzer v. Posner, 21-7916, regarding the right to a trial by jury, quote, may be the most important issue before the Supreme Court in our lifetime. What could justify its being denied? With a link to the article in State of the Nation where it makes that claim. What in the world? Well, Michelle, again, like Barack, a total phony, total fraud, done immense damage to the United States. I do believe she does want to run for president. Continuing this report, let us remember how President Donald J. Trump was censored and banned from communicating with the American people. Now we find out how that happened. A tweet from former First Lady Michelle Obama apparently played a major role in having former President Donald Trump removed from Twitter. The new installment of the Twitter files has shown Elon Musk and journalist Michael Schellenberger unveiled the fourth set of Twitter files on Saturday, and they showed communication by the company's executive between January 6th and 8th of 2021. Carmine Sabia reported for Conservative Brief. After the events of January 6th, the internal and external pressure on Twitter CEO Jack at Jack Gross, former First Lady at Michelle Obama, tech journalist at Kara Swisher, at ADL, high tech VC at Chris Sakaya and many others publicly call on Twitter to permanently ban Trump, Schellenberger said. Wow. Michael Schellenberger tweets, For years, Twitter had resisted Gaul's demand Trump. Blocking a world leader from Twitter, it wrote in 2018, would hide important info and hamper necessary discussion around their words and actions. Again, from Twitter public policy, blocking a world leader from Twitter or removing their controversial tweets would hide important information people should be able to see and debate. It would also allow that leader, it would also not silence that leader, but would certainly hamper necessary discussion around their words and actions. But after the events of January 6th, the internal and external pressure on Twitter CEO Jack Grew, former First Lady, and the others publicly called on Twitter to ban Trump. On January 7th, the former First Lady issued a long statement regarding her thoughts on what Silicon Valley should do. Now is the time for those who voted for this president to see the reality of who they've supported. The publicly and forcibly rebuke him in the actions of that mob, she said. Now is the time for Silicon Valley companies to stop enabling this monstrous behavior and go even further than they've already by permanently banning this man from their platforms and putting in place policies to prevent their technology from being used by the nation's leaders to fuel insurrection. The former First Lady, who in my opinion has no discernible qualifications for the office to which she appears to me to be going to aspire in 2024, other than that she's good at lying and deceiving the American people, like her husband, said that Trump was obviously willing to burn our democracy down for his own ego and call for swift and serious consequences for the failure of leadership that led to yesterday's shame. Like all of you, I watched as a gang, organized, violent, and mad, they lost an election, laid siege to the United States Capitol. They set up gallows. They waved traitorous flag of the Confederacy through the halls. They desecrated the center of American government. And once authorities finally gained control of the situation, these rioters and gang members were led out of the building, not in handcuffs, but free to carry on with their days. The day was a fulfillment of the wishes of an infantile and unpatriotic president who can't handle the truth of his own failures. And the wreckage lay at the feet of a party and media apparatus that gleefully cheered him on, knowing full well the possibility of consequences like these. Michelle Obama, posted on Twitter on January 7, 2021. Well, we know today the whole thing was phony, fraudulent, completely staged. FBI were infiltrating. Nancy Pelosi was coordinated with the Capitol Police. Someone allowed the magnetically sealed doors to be opened. It had to be Pelosi herself, who was Speaker of the House, is in charge of the Capitol Police 2 days before. Donald Trump had offered to send 10,000 troops to ensure there'd be only peaceable protests. He himself, at the Ellipse, asked all of his followers to be peaceful in their protest. On Twitter, he was banned. Now that Musk has restored him, you can read his last two tweets, both of which said, "Be peaceful and lawful in your protest. We are the party of law and order. Respect the men in blue." Michelle Obama is the phony. Michelle Obama is the fraud. This whole thing was orchestrated to smear Trump because they didn't have anything legit to use against him. He'd made America the robust economy. He'd clamped down on the border. He'd make America energy independent. The lowest earning wage earners were actually seeing their wages rise at the fastest rate. 40% of Black likely voters were declaring they were going to vote for Trump. They had to do something. They had to do something to tarnish him. And by God, they went all out. This is all phony. This is all contrived. And I guarantee you 100%, Michelle and Barack Obama are right at the center of it. These are traitors to America. They're among the most disgusting public figures ever astride the American political scene. And as an aside, just in relation to woke discourse coming from the Democrats, we have a new tweet. There are only two genders, man, woman, and beneath man is a photograph of Michelle Obama, and beneath woman of Melania Trump. They got it right. There are only two genders, and they are exemplars of the two. One, a very beautiful, lovely woman who's done a wonderful job as first lady. The other, a complete fraud, a man who pretends to be a woman by having had breast implants and a huge shaving bill. This is America today.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I want to shift gears here and turn to pandemic-related events because Johns Hopkins has run a series of tabletop exercises in the past. There was one in 2019 for Event 201. There was one in Event in 2022. What they're doing now is a new one. Listen to this. As this Substack, and this is from a guy who calls himself second smartest guy in the world. As this Substack has been warning, PSYOP 23 is coming, just as Musk perfectly plays his harp. Now, this is interesting. He's implying that Musk is not on the up and up. Just as Musk perfectly plays his part in helping facilitate the throwing under the bus of apparatchiks like Fauci et al. Warning. John Hopkins tabletop exercise, catastrophic contagion, October 2022, using enterovirus pandemic simulation. Children? No, they did the same thing for Event 201. Simulating COVID in October of 2019. Catastrophic contagion. A global challenge exercise. New tabletop. Catastrophic contagion. John Hopkins Center for Health Security. WHO. BNMG Foundation. Brussels. October 23rd, 22. Do we stock up on... This is Dr. Paul Alexander writing. Do we stock up on enterovirus medications? Is there early treatment for this? Is this a new power accumulating, liberty-taking plan? And the manner in which they will try to shut down the world again? Is this why the media and governments, especially in North America, are hyping and driving hysteria with RSV and common colds and children and worrying about hospitals being overrun? Sounds so familiar. Is this Event 201 all over again? Why the same nefarious players, for example, WEF and Gates et al.? What public health or medical background do these people have? Just a warning. These people do not care. Was Event 201 a coincidence that it simulated in October 2019 the very same COVID virus pandemic? 2019 tabletop exercise with a link. Fast forward. 3 years later, now they simulate an enterovirus pandemic that seems to target children. Should we be concerned? This is the reporting now. Was the media helping them with the recent alarms and hyping the RSV, et cetera? Is this idiosyncratic? Was Duo 1 syncratic? My colleague, Dr. Avery Brinkley Jr. of Florida, clued me into the situation. I think it's got it right. I think they got it right. This is very serious. In other words, they're going to do it all over again. I disagree with the implication that Musk is just playing his part. I think Musk, so far as I can tell, vis-a-vis Twitter, is totally on the up and up. But I'm also open to evidence that there might be something more going on. I'm totally open. There might be something more going on here. Meanwhile, I mentioned Brittany Grimes. Putin gave us no other option. White House insisted standby decision to bring role model Griner home. Leave Whelan in jail. Dodges questions on why Russia got a better deal and whether the merchant of death is a threat to the United States. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Thursday, President Biden will never stop working for detained American Paul Whitland's release. She was questioned about whether Russia got the better deal in a prisoner swap of the convicted armed trafficker Viktor Bout for WNBA star Brittany Griner. She was quizzed on whether Griner benefited from celebrity. She called Griner an important role model and inspiration of millions of Americans. The White House faced pressure Thursday to justify the terms of the deal that secured WNBA star Brittany Griner's release hours after President Biden celebrated her immediate return from a Russian penal colony. And by the way, the press isn't reporting. She was sent to a men's prison. You got that right. Brittany Griner was sent to a men's prison. Why? For the obvious reason. She's a man. She has male genitalia. And I posted on Twitter, you can find it there, at Jim Fetzer, a photograph of Brittany in a car with no shirt and no boobs. Not the least hint. This is one more of these cases where men are engaged in women's sports and have all the biological advantages of men. And, of course, Michelle Obama and Barack Obama would celebrate Brittany Griner. She's one of them. Even Jean-Pierre is a lesbian. No, I couldn't care less. I was actually sacked from my first radio show on RBN. If I had to guess, I would say this was around 2009. For explaining why even if Hillary were a lesbian, that ought not to count against her politically. I'm a different strokes kind of guy. But Hillary turns out to be a monster. I mean, I think she's one of the most horrendous, horrific individuals ever on the face of Earth. But consenting adults, you know, I'm not opposed to women who prefer women over men, or men who prefer men over women. I am given to understand all this homosexuality and even feminism, women going to work, was promoted by the Rockefeller Foundation way back when, because they were trying to reduce a birth rate in America. So there's a long history here. She spoke, and this is now Karine Jean-Pierre, after some House Republicans asked if celebrity played a role and detained American Paul Whelan, spoke out from his own Russian prison cell asking why he was still sitting here, even while praising Griner's release. As the president said this morning, he will never stop working to secure Paul's release and return home. He will not give up, Jean-Pierre told the reporters. And she added, on a personal note, Brittany is more than an athlete. More than she is an important role model and inspiration of millions of Americans, particularly the LGBTQI plus Americans and women of color, she said. She should never have been detained by Russians. And we are, I am deeply proud of the work the president has done. This administration has done to get her home. She addressed the Paul Whelan situation. The contractor and former Marine has been in prison for 4 years. In her opening remark and took multiple questions about it after Biner and Griner's wife, Sherelle, each vowed to push for his release. There are mixed emotions today, she said. Jean Pierre, like other administration officials who defended the swamp, said there was only one potential deal on the table for Griner. The Russians had rejected a reported U.S. effort to swap the convicted arms dealer, Victor Bout, for both Griner and Wheeler. In recent weeks, it became clear that while Russians are willing to reach an agreement to secure Brittany's release, they continued to treat Paul Whelan differently given the nature of the totally legitimate charges they have leveled against Paul. She said, totally legitimate charges. Unfortunately, the choice became either bringing Brittany home or no one. Why did Russia get such a better deal, asked Fox News commentator Peter Doocy. You know, I've talked about this, and I'll say this again. Here were our choices. Brittany or no one at all. Bring home one American or no Americans at all. Doocy pulled up, noticed that they gave up a professional athlete. We gave up an arms dealer who was convicted of trying to kill Americans and called a merchant of death. A professional athlete is also an American citizen, so let's not forget that, Jean Pierre shot back. She also dodged question about whether Bout constituted a security threat. We're saying the question is, and the question has been placed to us, is do we have security concerns right? And what we have said is the president did not make this decision lightly. Just want to make that very clear. But he believed this was the right thing to do to secure Brittany's release. In addition, another American, Mark Vogel, is serving a 14-year prison sentence, having been convicted in Russia possessing less than an ounce of cannabis that lawmakers say was for medical purposes, very parallel to Brittany's case. Very similar. So did they do the right thing?
Bill Gates was caught admitting.
Let me say, by the way, we have more on Bill Gates and his involvement. I have a video set up where we're going to be hearing the soundtrack. Mitchell has it lined up. I'll just say, you know, the hypocrisy from the Biden administration, this whole thing about genders is just absurd beyond belief. And remember, it may have been Voltaire who observed, if they can convince you to believe absurdities, they can induce you to commit atrocities. We're in the midst of so much bullshit, so much gaslighting, so much nonsense being touted as though it were truth, that it's simply appalling. Mitchell.
Bill Gates was caught admitting that the climate change agenda is a giant scam for the New World Order in a newly surfaced video in which he boasts that the term clean energy has screwed up people's minds. According to Gates, who was speaking to an audience of his inner circle in 2018, wind, solar, battery technology and other renewable energy sources might be fashionable, but they are not capable of solving climate change. As you can see in the upcoming video footage, the fact that renewable energy is not actually capable of solving climate change, despite being sold to us as the cure for so-called man-made global warming, is hysterically funny for Bill Gates. Why does he find it so funny? Perhaps because he is making a fortune out of those so-called clean energy sources and capitalizing on the gullible masses with their screwed-up minds.
It's 22 gigawatts rate over 3 days. You know, tell me what battery solution is going to sit there and provide that power. I mean, let's not joke around. You're multiple orders of magnitude, you know, $100 per kilowatt hour. That's nothing. That doesn't solve the reliability problem. And remember, electricity is 25% of greenhouse gas emissions. Whenever we came up with this term clean energy, I think it screwed up people's minds because they don't understand.
Damning stuff from the father of clean energy himself. So now that we have Gates on record admitting clean energy is a scam, how does the unelected World Health Czar defend his plans to force people to stop eating meat and start consuming his fake meat?
Now, a large part of the carbon we have in the atmosphere now is caused by the electricity grid, which is about 25% or so.
Exactly.
So 24%, it comes from agriculture and forestry. Why is that causing such a big increase in carbon?
Well, the that category is a variety of things. When you clear land, you're taking in the carbon that's stored, say, in the trees or plants there, and you're releasing all of that, like burning the land, say, in Indonesia for palm oil plantations. Another thing is that cows and other grass-eating species have a digestion system that emits methane. And methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas. And so cows alone account for about 6% of global emissions. And so we need to change
cows,
just cows alone.
How are we going to do that?
Well, actually, of all the categories, the one that has gone better than I would have expected 5 years ago is this work to make what's called artificial meat. And so you have people like Impossible or Beyond Meat, both of which I invested in.
You eat it as well and you like it?
Absolutely. You can go to Burger King and buy the Impossible Burger.
All right. Is it healthier for you or just healthier for the atmosphere?
It's slightly healthier for you in terms of less cholesterol. It's, of course, dramatic reduction in methane emissions, you know, animal cruelty, manure management, and the pressure that meat consumption puts on land use.
As Joe Rogan pointed out, Bill Gates really shouldn't be lecturing anybody about healthy diets. There is, of course, a clear financial motive to Gates' plan in getting people to consume his fake food, just as there had been with his COVID investments. This is the man who admitted he ordered President Trump not to investigate the possible side effects of the new COVID jabs.
In both of those two meetings, he asked me if vaccines weren't a bad thing because he was considering a commission to look into ill effects of vaccines. And somebody, his name is Robert Kennedy Jr., was advising him that vaccines were causing bad things. And I said, no, that's a dead end. That would be a bad thing. Don't do that.
Damning stuff, I'm sure you'll agree. But Gates has a history of being, suspiciously, one step ahead of major world disasters and capitalizing on them when they arrive. In recent years, Gates has been buying up vast swathes of U.S. and world farmland. Last year, Gates became the biggest private owner of farmland in the U.S. The Microsoft co-founder is considered the largest private owner of farmland in the country, with some 269,000 acres across dozens of states. According to last year's edition of the Land Report 100, an annual survey of the nation's largest landowners.
Bill Gates has been snatching up 242,000 acres of farmland across the U.S., enough to make him the top private farmland owner in America. According to the Land Report, the tech billionaire has been purchasing agricultural land for years, building a massive portfolio of farmland in 18 states. His largest holdings are more than 69,000 acres in Louisiana, almost 48,000 acres in Arkansas, and about 20,500 acres in Nebraska. Additionally, he has a stake in 25,750 acres of traditional land in Phoenix, Arizona, which is being developed as a new suburb.
Suspiciously, following Gates' quick-fire purchase of the largest stake of America's farmland, food production facilities started burning to the ground. Could the man who predicted the pandemic and was conveniently on hand to capitalize from it also have predicted the food crisis? If you've been paying attention this year, you'll know that the Netherlands has been the World Economic Forum's experimental territory where brutal Great Reset policies have been rolled out by a fully bought and paid for government working on behalf of the WEF. Eva Vlaardingerbroek spoke to Rebel News and explained the connection between Bill Gates and the Dutch government destroying the farmers' livelihoods.
It is laughable, and that is what you should take away from this. It's not a real crisis. Obviously, nitrogen isn't a problem, especially not when you consider the fact that, well, the Netherlands, like I said, is such a small piece of land.
Yeah.
We have our neighboring countries, Belgium and Germany, that don't have to implement any of these measures, but the Dutch government is doing it. And the real reason, obviously, behind it is that the Dutch state wants the farmers' land. Because probably there are a couple of reasons. So the farmers, first of all, they're a group in society that are very self-reliant. They are basically ungovernable in that sense. You know, they own a lot of the Dutch land. And they, well, they produce agricultural products, they have livestock, they produce beef. And what's interesting to know is that the Dutch minister who has pushed this nitrogen law has a brother-in-law who is the owner of the Dutch online supermarket called Picnic. Guess who invested $600 million in Picnic last year? Right, Bill Gates, the man who wants to eat fake meat.
And, you know, that's not just a conspiracy theory. I know, for example, that the head of the Netherlands, am I pronouncing his name right, Rutte? How do you pronounce the name of the leader of the Netherlands? He's a serious member of the World Economic Forum, too. What's his name?
Mark Rutte. Yes, Rutte. Mark Rutte is very, very deeply involved in the World Economic Forum. And, well, it's obvious that this law is a product, again, of these globalist institutions. Because this needs to happen before 2030. Rings a bell, right? Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, World Economic Forum. It's very clear that this is a made-up crisis, which we've seen before with these organizations. That's the way they handle. That's the way they operate these things. They say, we have a crisis, and you are the ones that are going to have to solve this by giving up all of your rights.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening here. They're taking away these farmers' land. They're taking away property because they see a future for us in which we're completely dependent on the state. You eat bugs and, well, they own your land. You own nothing and you'll be happy is what they say to you. But these farmers are not happy. And I'm so proud that they're fighting this.
Considering the amount of pain and suffering that the Great Reset clean energy policies inflict on ordinary people, can they really be justified by the elite to pushing them on us? When you remember that 4 years ago, Bill Gates was laughing with his friends about how clean energy won't even solve the so-called climate crisis, there can only be one answer. The Great Reset is a scam, no matter how you slice it.
I think that's a wonderful dissection of what's going on here. And Joe Olson, who's a very brilliant guy and engineer qualified across the board, have done a series about global warming, explained that over 600 million years of world history, there's no correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth. No correlation. That means sometimes you have the effect without the cause, sometimes you have the cause without the effect, but there's no constant correlation or regular association between cause and effect. That means there is no causal connection between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth. It's bullshit. It's pseudoscience. It's embarrassingly bad. You want to go to my video blog at BitChute channel Jim Fatzer, BitChute channel Jim Fatzer, and look for the Joel Olson global warming series. We have 9. We're going to do more. But the fact is, you got these monsters like Bill Gates who want us to eat bugs based upon bullshit. Bullshit. These people take great satisfaction in discerning how much, how stupid, how seriously they can play the American people because of their scientific ignorance. That if they hear it enough, acclaimed, reiterated often enough. Like that global warming is real. Where even Al Gore appears to have played a role here. This is embarrassingly bad. I used to think Al Gore was a decent human being. But the whole global warming shtick is just bullshit. There are periodic episodes of warming and cooling of Earth. That is true. But the idea that it's a function of human pollution, that is false. I mean, look, Joe has so much to say about this, it's devastating. I'll get him back on. We'll discuss it right here on this show. Meanwhile, we're going to take your calls after this break. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's staggering how much we are fed falsehoods. I mean, grossly false claims about the pandemic, about 9/11, about January 7th, about Donald Trump. I mean, about the vaccine, about global warming. I mean, give me a break. My colleague Carl Herman spoke at my False Flags and Conspiracies conference here on the 3rd and the 4th. And the title of his presentation was Everything is a Lie. I think that's pretty damn close to it. Everything is a lie. Meanwhile, I'm opening the lines for anyone who'd like to call in. 540-352-4452. Anyone would like to call in? Do we have a caller? Brian, yeah. Okay, Brian, go ahead. Speak.
Yeah, Jim. Speaking of what it's like to find a child that's never been vaccinated. Never had any of this garbage. You cannot believe how different they are. I've got a little story for you. I had a girl that I met doing my Kundalini yoga, and she was getting beat up by her boyfriend, and she needed to get away. She was from another state. And I had her move in with me, and she discovered she was pregnant. So during the whole pregnancy, she would have me talk to Archangel Raphael, the doctor Archangel, and we would find out things to do. We said, don't take any prenatal vitamins. They're full of poison, you know, even baby food. I mean, everything is just full of poison. So she did everything natural. She only breastfed. And when the baby was going, she wouldn't, you don't give them ultrasounds because that destroys their ability to have children later. It burns out your sperm production and egg production when you're older. But this baby, you know, their last line of defense is the vitamin K shot. If you don't get any vaccines, they'll say, oh, you've got to have this vitamin K shot that's got all this crap in it. She wouldn't let him do anything. And breastfed the baby, only got healthy food, and he literally glows. She'll have people when she's walking down the street that will comment like, my God, what's with this baby? I mean, if I sent you pictures, it would just blow your mind because his light is so bright.
Yeah, and other American babies would be equally bright if they hadn't been, damaged so seriously by the vaccine. Brian, I think your points are impeccable. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, there's been a dumbing down of America for multiple causes. Television is a part of it. Watching programs visually is in a lower level of mental engagement than reading. We've gone so far now with social promotion and this idea of equity that everyone should be treated the same, regardless even of their ability or their accomplishments, that we're promoting kids meaninglessly. We're going to issue degrees to people who have no competence and have not learned a damn thing. The dumbing down of America has just taken place on a massive scale. I'm convinced fluoride in the water, which was a brilliant way to take a waste product That was from the coolers for nuclear energy and turn it into a product from which they could make money by putting it into a public water system, but it's a neurotoxin. It kills brain cells. Fluoride is a poison. I have a friend in New York who is actually deliberately poisoned with a massive dose of fluoride mixed with other chemicals. It was a miracle he survived, only because he was a vegan and went home and drank a huge fruit smoothie or veggie smoothie when he got home, and it enabled him to cope, but he's losing virtually all his teeth, and he suffered other adverse effects, and he can't get the law to do anything about it. Just unbelievable. And here you have Bill Gates telling us we need to eat bugs because of cow farts. Well, I guarantee you 100% cow farts are not warming the earth. Indeed, carbon dioxide, as Joe Olson explains in the series we've done together, cools the earth in four different ways. And it's also indispensable to photosynthesis and the production of oxygen and water. So, I mean, the whole idea is just ridiculous beyond belief. But we have such a dumbed-down society that many, many, many are falling for it. They're being strung along, gaslighted into taking actions that are seriously damaging not only to themselves personally, but to the nation. I mean, it's staggering what's taking place here. I have a regular listener writing in. It's only going to get worse, Jim, even in Canada and among my friends who have had the jab. You can convince them otherwise. They also buy all the anti-Russian fever. So it's a hard life. Musk is now tweeting. Twitter is both a social media company and a crime scene. Both a social media company and a crime scene. I'm telling you, this guy is a good guy. I'm going to have a hard time being convinced that he's not. Mitchell, I know you have a lot to say. We've covered such a wide range of issues today. I'd welcome your comments on all of the above.
Well, fools and their wars today are a danger to everybody. It's no secret that the mainstream media, as aka the Mockingbird media, has always been a mind control type data set, data information gathering and dispersal thing. Today they have, you know, people hooked on social media, and you know, you have to laugh because, you know, everybody sent in their own selfie to social media for, you know, the FBI, you know, to do facial recognition with. It's absolutely, you know, it's funny how all they have to do is start a meme and they push it and everybody essentially does whatever they want. And it's not going to change. So they have to escalate the strategy of tension. Don't know how much they can escalate it without going nuclear, in all honesty. So control systems will fail if they don't keep control. And that's what's happened.
Well, I want to hear more. I want to hear more. Let me handle this a sec. Mitchell, you know, the whole idea of Bill Gates taking such a prominent role when he has no suitable background, either with regard to medicine or regard to food, nutrition, any of the above, and yet he's taken this gigantic role here. It is insulting beyond belief. But he uses megabucks to promote all kinds of falsehoods among the American people.
Well, yeah, I think Bill Gates stayed at Holiday Inn Express, and, you know, he just thinks he's an expert at everything. But he just has more money than sense, in all honesty. So It all boils down to control, though, Jim. You know, it's this control not only of me and you, but the actual thoughts that we're allowed to have, that whether they're, you know, whether we have correct think, you know, whether we're in the box or in the zone within the government allowed rebellion, you know, and that's the problem. Because, you know, at what point, you know, as I have always said on my show, you know, at what point do you not have control of your own mind? Do you not have the ability to think rationally or independently because you've been fed pablum and bullshit all your life? You won't. The truth is abnormal. Here's Paul calling in. Hey, Paul, there you are. You make it?
How you doing?
All right.
I'm here.
You're here. All right. How's the left coast?
It's rainy. A lot of rain came through the last 5 days, so quite a bit. But I'm sure if there's any storage, Gavin Newsom will dump it in the ocean, and and he's also going to fix the reparations for our wonderful blacks that were all slaves. I guess you saw that they're going to get some money here.
How's that going to work? Are we going to be able to do like the PPP loans, and we can all just send in a form and have them send us a debit card? And then they'll just put it on there every month for us?
Well, I think sooner or later, these people, you know, the ones that are running the show, which is, of course, not Bill Gates or not Elon Musk. These are just the front men. I think sooner or later, they're going to get everything they want, you know, incrementally.
Right.
I don't know. I don't see any evidence to the contrary. And I just had a conversation just yesterday and last night with, it's a roommate of one of my friends. I was over at his house, and haven't really got that much into quote politics before, but he's always made comments, and he's listened to things I've said. And then come to find out, like a lot of other so-called liberals, which he classifies himself as a liberal, there's just certain things you're talking about and he doesn't seem to follow. And I've noticed this before with so-called people that think they're liberal and have these viewpoints, is when you're talking about, a topic, it's like they're not really hearing you, or they're saying things that are unrelated, but what you could only call a non sequitur. And I found myself at least two occasions or more last night going, what are you saying? Why are you even saying this? And it's just like, I don't know, wires are crossed. I think Jim knows what I mean, too, that some of these people, their brains just don't work right. There's no other way to put it.
Paul, I'm glad to have you here. Yeah, I think that the situation where Americans have been flooded with so many lies, I mean, big lies one after another, I don't think, the public really has their challenge to sort things out. And as I've repeated so many times, have so much trouble keeping food on the table and a roof over their head that if they hear it from a couple of sources, even if they're mainstream, they tend to take it to be true, which is a great mistake.
Well, I think that there's a lot to be said for what I, what I just conveyed, which is, the minds don't work right. And I think that there's a lot going on there. I mean, I really believe, Brian is on to something. I've heard and read other accounts of online. People have talked about their unvaccinated children and so forth. For example, women have talked about their friends' children compared to theirs. This is all going back to the late 90s, early 2000s when I started looking into this and, finding out about autism and vaccines and so forth. And it's just... to me, this is why I don't have a lot of forbearance with Trump, because not only did he allegedly meet with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but he also met with a man named Forrest Moretti. And Jim, you should know this name, but you've never probably seen Are You Crooked? something that I sent to you before. And it, in my opinion, it's required viewing. It's 2 hours. And when you watch that, so the idea that if it's true, and again, a caller to RBN mentioned this a couple of times, said that, yes, Trump actually met with this man who produced Are You Crooked? And the idea that he would still come away and push the vaccines, to me, is just horrific. And it calls into question his character on this issue, not just, you know, the knowledge that, or that he was duped. But, you know, again, he can't be trusted. Just like I don't trust Elon Musk, and just like I don't trust a lot of other people because I think they're part of a show. You know, I don't, nothing about Elon Musk adds up in terms of his finances and his money. Right. And so how does he have all these billions of dollars to supposedly buy Twitter? It just, I think it's one of these things where they're just giving us little tidbits, you know, little cookie crumbs along the way, you know, false hope, as they say. And I think it could be predicted it's probably not going to end well. I mean, if somebody had told you about the Trump presidency and said, you know, it's not going to end well, you probably wouldn't, you know, have necessarily believed them, or you didn't really know what they were saying. And yet it didn't end well. And I'm not sure that any of these things are going to end very well. And when I see how complacent and obedient people are, you know, it's incremental. They're already used to, you know, a digital currency in a sense with all their cards. So how far away are we from a complete and total digital currency and total takeover? We're just getting so close. And to my eye, California's different. I get it. A lot of foreigners out here, and I don't know, maybe a higher share of dummies. I don't know. But I just see people as more or less going along. I see an uptick in mask wearing recently, you know, because of the false, you know, numbers they're reporting in the newspaper. You know, cases are on the rise. Of course, they could just say anything with no data behind it, right? Anyway, for the moment, as much.
Well, I appreciate all those sentiments. I'm a little more charitable toward Trump because I know how massively he was surrounded by people who were betraying him. We have many reports how he'd issue an order and there'd be agreement in the Oval Office, and when they walk out of the office, they turn to one another and say, "We're not doing that." You know, I think he was betrayed. On the other hand, I would like to see him renounce the vax and acknowledge this warp speed was a mistake and that he was played. And I think it's very important that. that he ought to do that.
Yes, that's what I think I should advise you or anybody that believes in Trump. Focus on that and just keep saying to yourself, why has that not occurred? You know, because if you can figure this out, and Giuseppe and me and Mitch and Brian and Dave Scorpio and all the other, not just tens or thousands or hundreds, but millions across the country have figured this out, that these things are poison, then how come Trump just doesn't cop to it? Right. That's very, very problematic for me. OK, as much as I would love to believe in any one man could help us or turn this thing around, that's a problem for me. He could just come out and say it, and he hasn't. So, yes. Yeah, I agree with you there, Jim.
Well, I'm glad. I think this whole idea about, you know, the global warming and you got Gates pushing the cow fart theory, you know, it's just, it's so embarrassingly bad that this gets any traction. And yet there are hundreds of millions who buy into it. And the propaganda supporting it has been enormous and ongoing, unrelenting.
And it's a 40 plus year or more lie. I remember back in the 80s when I was looking into this stuff, and you know, I was just reading casually. It was no deep research. And I came across this one chapter in the book, you know, it's called Icicles in the Greenhouse. And it talked about this evidence from core samples, right, that showed the temperature rise had no correlation with these gases. You know, in other words, in many cases, the temperature rise, you know, preceded the gas, higher levels of CO2. You know, in other words, you know, the temperature would rise and then the CO2 would come later. And so how could it be causal? And this is like, this is something I just tripped over in the late 80s or early 90s. So, you know, it just, again, Jim, you and I both know it's whatever it is that separates us from the rest of humanity. We're just, we're smarter. That's the way to put it.
I know what it is.
Go ahead, Brian.
Well, what separates us from the rest of humanity is our souls are actually at a higher level, okay? Christ consciousness souls, Kennedy was one of them. I could name all kinds of them throughout history. Hitler was one of them. Their soul levels actually God level. Then below that's demigod level. There's 144,000 of those, the apostles of Christ. Okay. I can give you people. Right. So they just have more knowledge. I mean, their souls can figure it out where other people's souls are not at that level, so they just get sucked right into it.
Brian, this is just one of those areas where I would, dissent. But I respect your right to your opinion. I think it's got a whole lot to do with levels of education and experience and not having time, being played, the inferior quality of American education today, the effects of fluoride over the long run, vaccines. I thought your example about the unvaccinated baby, I thought, was sensational. Paul.
That baby is at a higher level, too. That baby's, articulate at a very young age, like 2 months, it was as advanced as a baby that's like a year old. It's just unbelievable, the difference.
I'm going to back up Brian a little bit on this, and I'm just going to leave it at this. The soul and the spirit, in my opinion, is a very real and provable thing. It's got historical traditions going back millennia from many different cultures. I don't know, exactly where Brian is at in terms of, this spiritual development. And we can only judge somebody else by their words and their actions and their perceptions. But I can guarantee you, Jim, that there is a spiritual, element to this vaccination. Rudolf Steiner, who some people disagree with some of the things he talked about, but when you read what he, wrote and said, and you read about him, there's no doubt that Rudolf Steiner was a brilliant man. And he talked about the assault on our spirituality by these vaccines. And he talked about this a very, very long time ago. And I think there's something to be said for the vaccines, not just poisoning our, metabolic functions, but also, and not just our cognitive functions, but also our spiritual functions and that sort of development, which is a real thing.
Mitchell, would you care to weigh in on this? Yeah. Mitchell.
Well, since we're such a trainable species, and we can turn, a young boy into a full-fledged drag queen, I think we're capable of anything. And we certainly can be molded into anything. So buyer beware wherever you are.
Well, let's go ahead, Brian, with a final thought, then Paul. And
I was going to mention, Paul was talking about his liberal friend early on after 9/11 when they started putting Building 7 on the internet, going down on rents. They actually had the explosives going off on the floor. You'd hear boom, 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 and they, of course, removed it because rents isn't good either. But I had a liberal friend, and I had the computer. And I said, look at this. What do you think is going on? And here's the boom, boom, boom. And the building is collapsing on his own footprint. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. There it was. I mean, early on the internet, man, they had some real, shots of that. But his mind just couldn't grasp it. He couldn't figure out what he was looking at. So anyway.
Paul, a final thought.
So, Jim, it's not a thought. It's going to be a request. I'm going to send you once again, as I have in the past, a link to the movie, Are You Crooked? And I want you to promise me to start watching it this week. Brian, are you familiar with that movie, Are You Crooked?
No, I'm not. I haven't heard that movie.
Jim, I guess you have Jim's email or something. Get it from him. you need to watch it. It's about 2 hours, but it's very slow, steady. It builds up and very logical progression. It's very easy to watch, but it takes time. And when you get to the end, you'll be very emotionally affected, because that's what's occurring, is this essential poisoning of our young children. And it's probably one of the best videos I've seen about vaccinations. And that's why I recommend it so much.
Very good. Do send it to me, Paul. Take a look. Mitchell, do you have a final thought here? We're just about out of time. Go for it.
Well, no, Jim, just keep your head on a swivel and keep your powder dry.
Yes, yes. Well, we're on the verge of Sandy Hook, and I'm hoping to have a special guest on Wednesday, the 10th year since the fraud was perpetrated on the American people, and we'll talk about our experiences, assuming he's able to join me. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your friends and family, the people you love and care about. We literally do not know how much time we have left.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...